kui Tom Berignon leiutas šampanjat, kutsus tema munkadest kaasasi järgnevalt. Tulge kiiresti, ma maitsen siin tähti. Šampanjat tuntakse jätkuvalt elegantsi, rõõmu ja tähistamise sümbolina. Arvatavasti paljud meist tähistavad 2017. aasta lahkumist ja uue aasta saabumist just pudeli šampanja avamisega. Kuid milline on šampanja salajane ajalugu? Tavaliselt ootavad inimesed šampanja pudeli avamiseks erilist tähtpäeva, kuid Champa Chine konsultandi ja õpetaja Bernadette O'Shea sõnul ei peaks me ootama. Pudeli avamine loob ise tähistamise sündmuse. Šampanjatööstuse juhtiva isiksusena on Bernadette tunnustatud ka Prantsuse Chevalier de l'Or du Mérite Rüütli ordeniga. Bernadette sõnul on šampanja unikaalne, kuna selle joomine hõlbab kõiki meie meeli.
You open the bottle and the sound first, you know, all our senses are awakened. You hear this beautiful, gentle popping of the cork. Wow. And then you're watching it visually and you see the little bubbles climbing up the glass. So visually it's beautiful. Then you smell it and you smell all these aromas and magnificent flavors in the wine. And then finally you drink it. And all the other senses by that stage are all combined. And you have this extraordinary, beautiful experience when you have a glass of champagne.
Šampanja ajalugu sai alguse miljoneid aastaid tagasi, kui Prantsusmaa kirdeosas asuv Champagne piirkond oli sisemeri, täis mereelukaid ja karbilisi. 30 miljonit aastat tagasi toimunud maavärin tõstis merepõhja ülesse, luues sedasi uue maa massi, mis sisaldas suurt hulka kriidi deposiiti. Šampanja viinamarjad kasvavad kriidi pinnases ning neid villitakse ja ladustatakse fermentatsiooni protsessina suurtes maa-alustes keldrites. Bernadette O'Shea ütleb kirjeldavalt, et see tegevus on just kui tagasi minek ema üsasse.
So what makes champagne very unique? Is the fact that it's grown in chalk, and the grapes grow in chalk, and that's all they ever know. So that's what champagne's all about, its connection with chalk.
Kriidine mullastik talletab endasse vett ja kuumust, mis lubab viinapuudel kasvada ka külmas kliimas ja hoiab neid kuivamast kuuma lainete ajal. Lisaks annab kriidine pinnas viinamarjadele toitaineid ja aitab arendada marjade unikaalset maitset. Kuid šampanja ei ole šampanja ilma mullideta. Nii et kuidas tekivad need kuulsad mullid? Šampanja legendaarne leiutaja oli 17. sajandil elanud benediktiini munk Dom Pierre Berignon. Veinikriitik, kirjanik ja meediapersoon Jeremy Oliver selgitab, kuidas munk Tom need mullid avastas.
He was a master blender of the cellar and a very creative blender and he was always looking to try and refine the art of creating a more elegant, refreshing and vibrant wine. In doing so, after winter, as the spring would warm up in the cellar, the temperature would increase a little bit, and some of the slower fermenting sugars would actually then start fermenting for the first time in the bottle. Now, at this stage, the bottle had been sealed, so this second fermentation actually produced an effervescence, carbon dioxide gas.
Tänapäeval toodetakse šampanjat traditsioonilisel meetodil, mille algatas just nimelt Dom Pérignon. See protsess hõlmab endas viinamarja mahlale pärmi ja natukese suhkru lisamist, mis seejärel pikalt käärima jäetakse. Fermentatsioon võib kesta kuni 12 aastat ja see on väga kallis tegevus. Bernadette O'Shea ütleb, et šampanja tegijad Prantsusmaal šampanje piirkonnas otsustasid oma kaubamärki kaitsta.
The people in this region of Champagne are very protective of the area, and it's called La Champagne. Other people make imitations of Champagne, but they are not Champagne. They do not have this origin, they do not have the unique chalk, and they don't have the hundreds and hundreds of years of tradition as well. Even in France itself, if you're outside this region, your wine is called Vin Mousseux, which means a sparkling wine.
Populaarsete šampanjakodade hulka kuuluvad Moët ja Chandon, Krug ning Boerl ja Croff. Šampanja on tuntud oma kvaliteedi poolest ja sageli maksab hea pudel šampanjat ka palju raha. Nii et kui kallis üks šampanja pudel võib olla? 1907. aasta Heidsieck ja Co. pudel, mis leiti Läänemere põhjas asuvast laevavrakist, osteti 275 000 dollari eest. Bernadette O'Shea oli isiklikult üks õnnelikest, kellel õnnestus maista seda haruldast leidu.
So there was a cargo of champagne on its way to Russia for the Tsars during World War One, and it was bombed by a German submarine. So it lay on the bottom of the Baltic Sea until the late 90s. And in the late 90s, it was salvaged, and they went down to rescue these bottles and bring them up. Also on board was a cargo of cognac. And of course, people would think cognac would be the thing that would live and the champagne would not live. But it was the reverse. The cognac was completely destroyed. It was not drinkable. The champagne was magnificent, absolutely magnificent.
Loomulikult ei pea kulutama tuhandeid. Jeremy Oliver julgustab inimesi olema seikluslik ja katsetama erinevaid kaubamärke. Ta jagab ka saladust, kuidas leida head champagnat. Nimelt, mida väiksemad on mullid, seda parem on joogi kvaliteet.
Yes, that's one indication of quality. I think that the wines need to be balanced. They need to be harmonious. They need to have length of flavor on the palate. They need persistence, charm. Same with, you know, still table wines.
Austraallased naudivad vahuveini väga. Veini intelligentsi 2015. aasta turuarena näitab, et pool täiskasvanud elanikkonnast umbes nii 8 miljonit inimest joovad šampanjat regulaarselt. Ehkki kodumaise vahuveini ja veini tarbimine on aeglustunud, on suurenenud Prantsuse šampanja, uus Merema vahuveini ja Itaalia Prosecco müük. Kuigi šampanjat peetakse jätkuvalt kõige prestiissemaks vahuveinide hulgas, leidub mõningaid märke selle kohta, et jook võib kaotada oma juhtivat positsiooni. Auhinnatud Austraalia veinivalmistaja Andrew Beery omab Apogee veiniistandusi, mis toodab Tasmaania jahedas kliimas vahuveini. Ta viitab hiljuti The Wall Street Journalis avaldatud artiklile.
The heading was, has champagne lost its pop, and the theme of the article was that champagne is no longer dominating the fine sparkling in the world, and there are sparklings from other regions that are winning trophies ahead of champagne.
Andrew Beery ütleb, et Austraalia vahuveine luuakse sama protsessi käigus nagu originaalsed šampanjat ennast. Ta ütleb, et Austraalia veinikasvatajad naudivad La Champagne piirkonnale sarnaseid kliimatingimusi.
You need very cool conditions, so cool that it's difficult to make red wine. Tasmania, I think, has the recognition now as the leading region. It has probably the biggest area of this very cool conditions. Similarly, you've got areas like Mount Macedon in Victoria, Alpine regions in Victoria, which are as cool and are also making very good sparkling. So they're probably the main ones.
Andrew Beery arvates on Austraalia vahuvein piisavalt hea võistlemaks šampanjaga.
A good Australian sparkling will have the yeasty smell. It'll have very fine persistent bubbles. It'll be fairly pale, not too alcoholic, but with very good persistent flavor. Something like a mix of lemon, red currants that are features of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, which are the main two grapes we grown in under cool conditions.
Järgne samm on tema arvates Tasmaania vahuveinile äratuntava kaubamärgi leidmine.
We are starting to think about a name for Tasmanian traditional method sparkling so that you've got it in one word, and I think that would be an excellent marketing tool if we can find a name that does the job.
Vaatamata sellele, kas te joote pokaali kihisevat Tasmaania vahuveini või Prantsuse šampanjat, on tegemist sajandeid kestnud traditsiooniga. Seega, head nautimist ja tähistamist!